question.
Paul, for the players that didn't skate today, is there any concern about their availability for game one?
No.
What about Brandon Tanev?
We'll go Brandon's day to day. I'll throw you one bone at the start so you can get off my back, but he's not going to play game one.
Okay.
What are you going to do with Josh?
I'm sorry?
What are you going to do with Josh?
Probably
ease him in.
Keep him under 30, I think. Unless it's overtime. He's like, the fitness for him is not an issue. He's been able to skate and skate hard, and he has. And he was knocking on the door there at the end of that road trip wanting to play, but we wanted to make sure he's right. So he's back full contact for a week now and feeling real strong.
They better really have a tough line there. Do you ease Josh into that or no? Is it him and Jacob right off the bat?
No, he's ready to go. And see, with the group that we have on our back end, it's not the typical hard match where we're pulling defensemen off the ice anyway. So it's he goes in and plays. We'll monitor shift length more than minutes.
So, Paul, Nathan Beaulieu, of course, stepped right into that pairing and has been there ever since. Is it just a straight swap out, or do you look and see if there's a way to keep him in the lineup?
So now you're just grinding right into lineup decisions. Of course, we're in playoffs now. I really like Nathan's game, and he's played hard and helped us win some games. So he's not an easy or obvious out.
What's your day like today? How do you get your group ready moving forward from the regular season now to a singular opponent?
Everybody's got their own playoff routine. We would follow ours in terms of how to prep for another team. You've got 2 days of meetings that run a little bit longer, and then you get back to your really normal game routine on the Wednesday. So we just, we'll go through our opponent, our game, and prep for that Wednesday.
Is it different preparing for this St. Louis team, though, based on the changes that they've undergone since the last time you saw them, as opposed to...
The bigger difference would be that we haven't played them this year, right? We saw them in 18, and so a lot of your video isn't, hey, this is the last time we played them 2 weeks ago. This is what we saw. So that's different for both teams. We're both dealing with the same thing.
Connor Hellebuyck learn, in your opinion, from that playoff run last year, and how has he maybe put some of that knowledge to use?
Well, the experience for all our guys, the first one is the physical demands of a playoff series, how much different the playoff game is to the regular season. And when you used to play 24 minutes and 16 feels like that, you understand the importance of recovery, of emotionally too, shaking off tough games and coming back and being really good the next night. That he had a lot of that happen in the Nashville series. So that would be true of all our group, right? You really can't explain it to somebody until they go through it.
Josh was saying the emotional level of a playoff game is something he's going to have to maybe really adapt to quickly. What do you want to see from your team emotionally?
Playoffs are a lot more fun to coach. Because you're not dealing with a Tuesday in February where you've coming off 4 and 6 and a bunch of different time zones and both teams come jacked. You're more want to be careful that you don't want so much exuberance that you're running out of your routes and out of your game. But it's a good thing, right? Like you want it in your room. You want the enthusiasm of the crowd and the enthusiasm of the stage to be a big driver, because the emotions of playoffs are critical. It's what makes the game different. Systems don't change a whole heck of a lot. Well, nothing really changes. The game doesn't change, but the emotions of the game do, and that's what makes them fun to watch and fun to coach and fun to play.
Jacob was even saying it's been hard to play these last few weeks. Does your team have a switch now?
Every single team has a switch, right? Because the energy level, the source of energy is just so hard to manufacture during the regular season. It's unreal. And then you get to the playoffs and it's real, right? You're wired when you get to the rink and you're excited all day. And the night before, you can feel it coming. And it's a good time of year.
How would you describe where Hellebuyck's game is at?
Yeah, really good. Really like where he's at. But I'm going to put that back 2-3 months. Like, I thought what he was good at the start of the year. He wasn't at probably his expectation level, but he wasn't off. He won hockey games, and by the end of January, I think we're 33-16-2. He's played well, but he's been exceptional. I think in the last 2.5 months, he's been right on his game.
So you have the personality, it seems to thrive in these sorts of
stuff? Well, he loves them, right? Like, he loves this time of year. He's excited about it. I think he's a guy that plays at a high emotional level and critiques his game, but you play 60 minutes every night, you need more, right? You need something to drive you. He's wired for it.
Is it even fair, the spotlight that gets put on goaltenders in the playoffs? It's
completely fair because it's accurate. I mean, it is. So he's got a long-term deal that I could say that. I mean, the goaltender should be the highest paid player in your locker room based on the importance to what. No, really. I mean, you can be fantastic and technically perfect and world-class, and you lose if your goaltender isn't. The opposite is true. You can stink the joint out and win a hockey game on your goaltender. That's the National Goaltending League for sure.
So what could you do psychologically to get into the head of a rookie goalie? What could your players
Well, do? If you're walking in thinking rookie goalie, you're already behind it, man. It doesn't matter how many games he's got in. Those guys feel good. We would approach, and he's not a rookie. He's got some fabulous NHL numbers. We approach him as you would Pekka-Rinne, right? You're not sneaking any ugly ones by him.
Scheifele and Wheeler have been drivers all year for you. If there was a bit of a perceived dip the last couple of weeks, Paul, and that's my words, not yours, but do you feel like they're back right now? Or were they ever gone?
Oh, we moved that left wing position around an awful lot all year long, and in the back of my head right from the start was that we would probably, very probably, come back to that. It's that hole for them, and I'll go back to, and I said it a few times this year, but I don't know, and probably on purpose I didn't go through it, trying to win and develop at the same time. I mean, either one of those tasks is huge, right? Trying to win in the National Hockey League is tough. Trying to develop is tough. Do them both at the same time is a real challenge. But we really used that left wing hole there as a developmental place. You know, get to, so Kyle Connor's run through it, Patty Laine's run through it, Nicky Ehlers has been there, Andrew Kopp has been there. But we figured we would come back to the Connor, Scheifele, Wheeler as a starting point, a driver for our team, as you say, with the idea now that we can make adjustments away from that and still be a good hockey team.
Obviously, losing Brandon Tanev is not ideal, but is what you've seen from Par Lindholm these last two games maybe help you sleep a little bit better at night?
Par's been outstanding in his game. So technically, in terms of his positioning on the ice, but his compete level on pucks, you know what? And when you get a guy like that, kind of really quiet man, every time he does something good on the ice, the bench gets really excited. So he brings something beyond just fine play. The guys cheer and form, block shots, finishes hits, makes good plays with the puck. So it's a real nice find for us.
It says something that he was a regular in a really good Toronto Maple Leafs lineup for the first 60 games of the year.
For sure, right? And both teams almost in the vein that they are. The way that they're structured, that, you know, we can each kind of use what the other team had, so it was a good deal.
How much of the series is top line versus top line? I don't mean matchup wise.
I'm going to say probably not very much. I mean, at the end of the day, clearly your best players have to be better than theirs. There's the cliche, we'll fire it out, but I think this series is going to be ground on those other lines that'll be decided there.